The son of a single mother, he dropped out of high school and played in rock and roll bands for 10 years. Then he got serious about life and put himself through college and law school. In 2015, he argued before the United States Supreme Court for marriage equality and won the landmark case. Now, Dan Cannon is running for Congress in Indiana's 9th District, hoping to unseat first-time Republican Trey Hollingsworth. He's a progressive, and he doesn't think that's a drawback in what seems to be a rock-solid red state. Dan Cannon joins Michael Glab on this week's edition of Big Talk.
Hi, this is Big Talk. Michael Glab here, and I'm happy to have with me in the studio today Dan Cannon, the civil rights attorney. He has declared himself a candidate for the 9th District seat in U.S. Congress. Dan, thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
You're going to be going back and forth throughout the entire district for the next year and a half.
We have been already. We were in Brown County last night, back up here in Bloomington today. We'll be in Johnson County on Sunday, the 16th, for a kickoff event. And then, I don't know, my campaign staff tells me where to go at this point. So
you're a Democrat.
Yes, sir.
Not only are you a Democrat, you're a Democrat.
Well, I'm a progressive, so whatever that means.
There you go. Yeah. What about liberal?
Liberal is not something that I would, an adjective that I would usually ascribe to myself, but I'm not going to run from it. Sure, I'll take that.
But we're in Indiana. It may be the reddest of red states. You know, there hasn't been a Democratic congressperson in this district since Barron Hill was thrown out in 2010, thrown out by the voters.
Well, that proves it can go blue.
Why?
Well, so this was Lee Hamilton's, and I'll take issue with anybody saying that Indiana is the reddest of the red. This was Lee Hamilton's district for, 34 years, I think. And people like to be represented by real people that are so that they feel like are genuine, that they feel like are authentic, that they feel like are no nonsense, and people that care about them, the people that listen to them. I mean, that's what anybody wants in a representative, is somebody that cares, somebody that listens, somebody that can demonstrate that, and somebody that can demonstrate that they can take what I think are common values. You know, I've been all over the district for the last couple of months, and I've talked to lots and lots of people. And the people in this district are very diverse. I mean, you're going from Bloomington to New Albany to Charlestown. There's a lot of different kinds of people. But and they all have different sort of value sets and sort of different beliefs and that sort of thing. But, you know, there is a commonality in the sense that everybody, we all care about each other, right? We care about our communities. We care about our neighbors. We care about people. And I think if you can demonstrate to people that you care about them, that you're listening to them, and not only that, that you can take that sort of common value of caring and turn it into good policy that affects everybody, shapes our communities, helps our communities, helps people in their day-to-day lives, I think people respond to that.
Okay, you've been traveling around. You're going to continue traveling around. You've been listening. What are people telling you? What do they want today?
Well, that varies depending on where you go in the district. Again, it's a diverse district. And so you've got some people that are really concerned about infrastructure, making sure that we repair our roads and our bridges, making sure that there's broadband access for everybody. I mean, you know that there are some schools in the district that give all their students tablet computers to take home at night. But then they're not allowed to get on the internet because not all the students would be able to access broadband, right?
Right, right.
So that's a problem. Infrastructure is a problem in some places. You know, the environment is a big concern for everybody, making sure that we have clean water, we have clean air, clean soil to grow our food in, safe and secure and reliable housing. That's a big thing down in the sort of deep south part of the district, my part. And of course, you know, quality education is something that concerns everybody, making sure that we don't end up bankrupting our kids with crippling education debt. And, you know, the big ticket item these days, of course, what's in the news a lot is healthcare. And this is something that has been, you know, sort of a bulwark issue for politicians in the United States for a long time, because we can't seem to get our hands around how to offer a comprehensive solution to the giant healthcare problem that faces people in America.
Do you have any ideas generally of what we can do to remake our healthcare system? Single payer? universal?
Well, I think that's the direction we're going.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that people are finally recognizing that that's the direction we need to go in, right? And so it's not as though we're going to pull the pin on the social grenade tonight and see what happens when it explodes tomorrow, right? I mean, you know, there's got to be stones along the road. But at the same time, we can't just take baby steps, you know, to improve the, let's assume that the ACA stays intact, right? It still needs improvement. We can't just take baby steps to improve the ACA bit by bit by bit without having a clear goal in mind for what we want healthcare in the United States to look like, let's say 25 years from now. And I think when you talk to people about what's your ideal for what healthcare looks like in the U.S., you know, almost everybody, regardless of party affiliation, is going to tell you that they want something. They don't want any more Americans going bankrupt because they can't pay their medical bills. And you're talking about 500,000 bankruptcies a year in the United States due to medical debt. So everybody recognizes we got to do something about that. We got to have something that doesn't, that we're not spending so much on. Right now we're spending 17% of our GDP, and that's going up. On healthcare, we can't continue to spend that much. That's not sustainable. And you know, of course, the elephant in the room is making sure that not a single person dies because they can't pay a medical bill. And that's just an issue of basic human rights.
Would you be in favor of the federal government or even the state governments, the 50 of them, owning medical facilities and employing medical professionals?
Yeah, I don't think that proponents of single-payer systems tend to talk about socialized medicine like that, right? Mm-hmm. And the talking point on the other side is always, well, look at the VA and look at how poorly the VA is run. And there certainly is going to be room for improvement in the VA. But that's not what most proponents of single-payer are talking about. We're talking about a system that basically we establish a global budget for hospitals, the hospitals that already exist, and those hospitals are still private entities, and we pay into one place, which is the federal government, and the federal government pays the bills to those hospitals. The hospitals establish global budgets according to schedules that shift annually, right? And if folks want to look up Physicians for a National Healthcare Program, they've got a great plan that lays all this out.
There's almost an inevitability. Let's say you win, and you're going to have to start giving $1,000 a plate dinners yourself, and you know people are going to say, you sold out. What are you going to say?
You know, this campaign, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. This campaign and my candidacy is not for sale to any bidder at any price. I will maintain that until I, you know, the day that I die, if I am in office that long, right? And I think that the only way we can, again, the only way that we can really affect real change in the campaign finance system is by getting on the inside of it.
You made the promise. We've got it on tape right here. If you win, we're going to hold you to it.
Yes, sir. I expect you to.
We've been with Dan Cannon, the civil rights attorney, who is one of the contenders for the Democratic nomination for the 9th District seat in Congress here from Indiana. Dan is from the southern end of Indiana, down near the Ohio River.
The deep south of the district.
The deep south in what's called Kentuckiana. Thanks for being with us on Big Talk.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
You can hear this episode and episodes of Big Talk with Michael Gleb on our website, wfhb.org.